Hey you, welcome to Bloom Baby Bloom, a podcast dedicated to holistic living, learning, and healing from an African-centric perspective. I'm your host, Maina Chenzi, a holistic life coach, multi-passionate creative, and your dedicated digital soul sister. Good morning and welcome to another episode of Bloom Baby Bloom. I hope you are well wherever you are, and I wanted to make an episode this Sunday wrapping up our focus on the female body, and I needed to include a few people in my circle, like a few women, and I had asked them a few questions that I want to put together as an audio collage. And I'm really looking forward to that one, but it's still in the works. So I thought, you know what, we're going to just have you and me this month, and then I will put in that one another weekend instead. Okay, but we're still talking about the body and holistically being mindful of the body, using the body, reclaiming the body. And I wanted to talk about today body to body, which is the subject of today's episode. I think that this subject is really important, especially because in current times, there's a lot of people who are separated from their loved ones, friends, or even family, who also, of course, are under loved ones. And I thought that actually a lot of us are being starved for touch, which is actually a real thing. And I, whether you're women or men, this is something that is really important for your well-being from the day you are born to the day you will die, to have touch. And I thought that it would be interesting to explore that subject a bit with you guys this weekend. Anyway, if you happen to be somebody who lives with people who care for you and love you and offer you lots and lots of touch, you are fulfilling a need that is geared into your human body. And you might not even know that. You might be like, oh, this is how we do it. But basically, actually, being touched and having hugs and having gentle touch. Of course, not all touch is equal. If the touch has to be from a place of trust, like the people you trust and have a good relationship with, and it should be a touch that you positively want as well or enjoy and is consensual, obviously. So we're not just saying all touches matter. It's the good kind of touch that matter. I remember actually during my stay in Brazil and noticing how that was the time in my life where I was touched the most in my whole life. Because I lived on a farm, on a little homestead, I could call it, and I lived there with my partner's aunt, cousin, brother, and mother, father, no, stepfather. And everybody lived there, and everybody would hug coming home or even just passing by, hold you a bit, or if you said something funny, they would squeeze you. And I noticed that I got so much hugs and so much body affection, also from my partner, who's also very affectionate. And I thought, wow, this is different. This is not something I experienced a lot in my life, specifically in the beginning. And it affected me in a way that I could see was positive. Like, you feel a sense of belonging, you feel a sense of love and care, and it's something that is translated because of that human touch. And it doesn't necessarily, of course, have to just be the kind that you have with your intimate partner, but just in close intimate relationships. And I also thought about when I lived with my sister, the sister that comes just after me. And it's funny because she's not particularly a touchy person, but at some point we had this really cute ritual that every day before we separate, we would give each other a good hug. And then when she'd come home, also like we would maybe give each other a hug. I don't know if the one when she came home, if that was as consistent, but the one before she left, we would always give each other a really nice hug and wish each other a good day. And it's not something we even ever put in word, like, let's do it. It just started happening. And then if she were to leave and she hadn't hugged me or we hadn't hugged each other, then we would feel a certain way about it. And I remember even in moments where we were annoyed with each other, I would still hear her sometimes, or I would come, like, when I'd hear her put her shoes on, because she would leave the house before me usually, or I would be working from home, and I would hear her sometimes leaving, and I'm like, what, you're going to leave without the hug? And I'd come out to the living space, and she would already be coming towards my room as well, and then we would hug, and it just felt like this daily ritual that we really appreciated, that created a sense of comfort and a good way to start the day. And it's funny because then just going all the way back to my own home and how we approach touch, I remember that I don't particularly have a real memory of being younger and maybe being cuddled by my mom or my father, but they weren't particularly cold people either. I would say that I did get, you know, like some touch here and there, but the whole hugging part of our family situation only started when we moved to Denmark. If you've never been to Denmark, that's something I guess you wouldn't even expect, because maybe people have this idea that people in the north are a bit cold, but they're also very big huggers. They're big on hugs. You hug friends, you hug loved ones, you hug people you meet in the street. Like, if I don't know, like not strangers, but hugging is very much a normal part of the Danish culture to some degree. And so, at least I'm not saying in every household or from every person, but it's something we learned to appreciate once we had moved to Denmark. And obviously, attending Danish schools, and you'd make friends and you would always hug. And when you came home, then you'd start hugging your siblings because that was the norm. Like, you slowly came into that culture, and it was a good part of it, you know, like I really like that aspect of Danish culture. And then before we knew it, we were also hugging our mom more frequently and even saying words like every day, I love you. And my mom was really good with that, to be honest. Like, I think she was always aware of the things she could do better, even though she didn't get it growing up. And I always, always appreciate that aspect of my mom. It's something I speak about often because it's also something that encourages me to never stop growing and learning and doing better. And I remember my mom learning that as well, like how to be better at hugging and saying affirmative words like, I love you, I appreciate you, and all of these things. Whereas before, she was more of a shower of affection or love, but now she was actively saying and, like, you know, hugging us. But my mom is so funny because I remember us teasing her in the beginning that her hugs were a bit rough and a bit uncomfortable. But I guess it's because she was learning to do that as an adult. And I really appreciated that because it wasn't something we grew up with in our own immediate home. However, I don't think that it's something that is foreign to our Ugandan upbringing, because when we did go back home to visit, I did see that people did also hug. But it felt like, I don't know if it was because we were coming in as visitors, like, oh, we haven't seen you in a long time, or if it was an everyday thing, because in Denmark, it doesn't matter if I saw you yesterday, I'm gonna hug you today as well, you know. And even when you meet up with friends, like, you start out with hugging everybody, you know. So that was something that I grew up experiencing, but it was still, like, not as much as then when I moved to Brazil. But I think it's also because there were more people around me, so a hug you'd get maybe from two people, you'd get from five people, you know, or a touch you'd get from five people. But even there, you could see there are some people who were not very touchy, but those who were very touchy. And I, as a touchy person, really appreciated that. And I realized, like, even more and more as I get older, that I'm really, really a touchy person. And luckily, like, the apartment I live in, the roommate I have, who I've grown a close relationship now, and we go for walks on the weekend, like, I've also noticed that while we might not hug, like, daily, on the weekends when we go for our walks, like, there is more a welcome of touch, or at least, like, yeah, like, sometimes she will put her hand in mine, or, like, not in my hand, but her arm in my arm, or, like, we would hug, or, like, if something exciting happens, like, we might, you know, like, ah, like, touch each other. And I really like that, and I can sense that I'm really growing to to notice that I just naturally even gravitate towards that. If I like and feel comfortable with you, I will do that. I also have another friend who is an old colleague from an old job, and every time we meet, which is even more rare, I think every other week or once a month, he always gives me these really intentional and present hugs, and I really appreciated that because I can see his gentleness and his appreciation through how he hugs me, and it's not in a way that like, also because we are of the opposite sex, obviously, but, like, I can sense that it's an endeared hug, you know? And so from those different relationships, and then obviously when my girlfriend comes to visit, she is a very cuddly, very touchy person, and I always appreciate that, but I also notice that we all live on the spectrum of touch comfortability. And I think that's so interesting because I think especially as somebody who comes from France, and I think they are a bit more touchy. Actually, there's a study I read up on for this podcast, and they were talking about that the French are very high on the touch and countries like America are very low on touch. And all these, of course, impact how people feel, how they feel included in their community, in their social circles, and in their relationships, how often they're touched. And there is a sense of unified or unity when you know that people around you and you share touches with people around you. And these things basically matter to us, not just on individual or intimate relationship, but also on a social perspective or on a social level. Definitely, you can also sense that it's probably different from culture to culture or household to household. And when I get to be amongst all these people from different cultures, you get to experience it as a spectrum, that how much people do it and how comfortable people feel doing it is on those factors, like how you grew up, where you grew up, and the cultural understanding of touch or appreciation of touch, because I don't think any culture particularly talks about it, but it's more the fact of their relationship to it. And it's so funny because often these things are studied, and even though I love a good study, sometimes I also feel like I talked about before, that it's quite important to remember that there's things that we know intuitively, and you don't really need a paper to tell you that. Like, you don't need a paper to tell you that if you birth a child and don't touch it, that child is not going to do well in life, you know. Like, it should feel almost intuitive or common sense-ish, you know. that is actually a study, that kids who are starved from touch don't always have the best starts of life. And even small born babies, if they don't get enough touch, might even not want to keep living. I'm not saying it's a conscious choice, but they could also die just from being starved from touch. And I think it's almost like a biological response, in the sense that, oh, there's nobody to care for me. Oh, the where I'm growing is not a safe environment. Like, the body just reacts to that and maybe just aborts itself in a way. There's obviously a lot of studies, if you're interested in that and would like to learn more about that, on how the lack of touch or touch starvation affects children particularly, but they're very sad, so I wouldn't recommend that you invest your Sunday on that, unless you have the capacity and energy for that. But yeah, I'm just gonna, I guess, leave it at that, that it is a quite important, especially for kids, and not only for their immune system, but also their well-being and how they learn about compassion and how they can better coexist with those people around them. And also even kids who from an early age are hugged and touched gently, these kids are also more likely to repeat that same behavior as they grow up. And as mentioned before, obviously the kind of touch you have is quite important. And I remember actually a part of us growing up when we were younger was, because now as adults, or for the last, I think once we got in our 20s and we had accepted and grown into ourselves a bit more, the way we also play touch in our family, or I would maybe say more, my siblings, has also changed throughout the years. not just like, oh, we touch each other more, but the kind of touch we engage with. I remember when we were younger, we really liked like being rascals to each other through touch. Like we had this thing that we learned from an uncle at some point where like you squeeze the Achilles heel, is that how you say it? I was gonna go all the way and say Hercules. Achilles heel, and you squeeze it and it's like excruciating pain, or like pinching just behind the elbow, like a really small one, and we would have like the greatest of time, like mini partaking in these harassing and not always the funnest kind of touch, and we would just turn them into games. Like we would try to catch each other and then like have those little pinches that would be so painful, and we would be laughing and crying at the same time. I don't know what that says about that part of our childhood, but the thing is, now that when we got a bit older, and me and the sister after me were more in our early 20s, late teens, touch that we shared with each other definitely changed. Also, when I was 21, our baby sister was born, like our smallest sister, who, by the way, is turning 11 next month, which is so exciting. Like, she's really, like, a really big girl. It's so crazy. Anyway, so when she was born, it just changed the dynamic, I feel, a bit. I remember, because we became more gentle with her, obviously, like we gave her so much gentle touch, and that obviously also trickled down even more into us as sisters, and even in our overall little family. But I would say that it had started to change after that, because we had become more adults, and so we weren't really in that very more teasing, annoying kind of touch. And one of the articles I read particularly also spoke about that how it also matters that if you, the only time you have touch is with a negative connotation, that either, let's say you grew up in a family where you would only be touched if you were being hit or abused, or just pinching and annoying each other, then you would have a bigger aversion to touch or see it as something positive as you grow up. And I would also say that obviously if you come from a family where the touch is mostly negative, it's because that family is already under a lot of more emotional stress. And I think that is also something that we show through how we approach touch. If you're already in an unsafe environment and you have never gotten that safe touch and you can't pass it on, and the only touch you know is, it's so funny because it's just a testimony that life is always in that yin and yang, and everything has its yin and yang. Like touch is positive, touch can be negative. And if you grew up on the other spectrum of the relationship, as I mentioned, that obviously even your touch is going to reflect that unhealthy way of relating to each other. So basically, including that, I could also understand that when we were younger and still recovering from growing up in a very unstable and uneasy, emotionally abusive home, our relating to each other also would be seen in those little things, you know. And as we healed, as our mom healed, and we were removed from that toxic existence, you could also see that our touch itself evolved to a more positive, caring, and gentle touch. I remember even like having to, us as children, like having to show our mom that, obviously, like I mentioned before, this is how you touch nicely, mom. You have to do it like this. When you hug, don't dig your fingers in. And I thought that's so interesting. It's kind of like if you never learned something, and we were maybe still young, and we also had good teachers around us, like when we started living in Denmark, and not teachers by teachers, but like our circle of friends, like you could sense that the touch was taught to us differently, and as kids we were more receptive, and then we could bring it back home to our family to have that good touch. Now, obviously, I started this podcast out that in our current situation, there's probably a lot of people who are not able to get the touch they deserve to feel that sense of love and to nurture their touch needs. But there's also other ways you can have that if you don't have people around you or you don't have people you trust and feel safe to touch you in a way that is reaffirming and builds close intimacy. For example, did you guys know that there is like cuddle parties? which are totally platonic, and you can go there and people literally cuddle each other and have conversations, or you can just cuddle in silence. I think that is so cool. Like, oh my goodness, like, of course you would have to go beyond a lot of boundaries, and I imagine it's a safe space that doesn't just allow anybody. But how beautiful that we can outsource such a human need in those kinds of ways of relating to each other. Because, yeah, maybe you don't have close friends, or you have difficulties creating them, or you don't have romantic relationships, or even touchy romantic relationships. Because I guess that's also another assumption that we think just because somebody is in a relationship that they're getting the touch they need. You don't know, because you might have a partner who's not really good at touch. So, yeah, there's many ways you can fulfill that need basically by yourself. And attending a cuddle party is one. I don't know how many of those are running right now in these days. But if you can't have that, you can also book a really good massage for yourself. And that is also said to really help. If you can't have that, you can also, apparently, even getting your nails done also fulfills that need of that kind of touch. I don't know actually if it's different if you are having somebody work on your hand while they have gloves. I don't know if you need like skin to skin, or it's okay even through another surface, just that it's somebody else's warm hand on you, or cold hands. There's a lot of people with cold hands. Let's not leave them out. But yeah, like I was just thinking about that obviously you can also do that, whether it's a pedicure, a manicure. These are also ways in which you can fulfill that need. And apparently like the ideal touch or hug is supposed to be 20 seconds. So I don't know how many people feel comfortable counting to 20 and hugging someone who is not romantic, or who you've not like, oh, I haven't seen you in a long time. But it's something I guess you could have fun like just counting when you're hugging people. But the average one apparently is 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3, which makes sense. But you would maybe just have to stack a few of those together to get your 20 seconds of need. And obviously, like I say, like there's also those other ways where you would get more prolonged touch, such as manicures and pedicures, as I mentioned. I was also thinking, obviously, that beyond all these things that you can pay or socialize your way to, there is also your own touch. A lot of us don't really notice that actually even you intentionally and mindfully touching yourself can have a positive impact on you. Like you can literally like hold yourself lovingly and say, "Ooh, I love you so much. I love you so much." And sometimes we forget that the things we get from other people in our community, which are important, can also we can also get from ourselves by practicing a more mindful awareness of ourselves and how we interact with ourselves, how we touch ourselves, how we talk to ourselves. And you could do it in ways like maybe if you do your skincare routine, like instead of like just going through the steps, I don't know what kind of things you do, but just going through the steps, if you intentionally notice your hand on your skin and massaging your skin, or if you are even moisturizing your skin on a daily basis, which I hope you do. That's also something you can do. Oh my God, that gives me a memory that was a really big way that we did get touch growing up, because my mom always made sure we were moisturized. So there would be like that nice massage. And you know, like we didn't have like those lay kind of what you call it, moisturizers that just run. You needed like that good, like either Vaseline a shea butter, and that kind of those kinds of creams have to be really intentionally massaged into the skin. And I just remember as a kid, like, my mom doing that and, like, stretching her arms and her, like, you know, using both her hands to make sure she massages the butters really deeply into her skin. And that also is a form of touch. Like, and even, like, in our cultures, we also do a lot of hair, because that was another thing, like, getting your hair washed or your hair done. That's another form of touch. And we have that in abundance in our cultures as well. So those are ways that those needs can also be fulfilled. You could also take a dancing class, like dances that require touch, like salsa or any bachata. It's bachata? Yes, it is also. Any form of dance that requires closeness and builds, of course, a loving and intimate relationship with your partner. I'm guessing, like, you can't be indifferent to your partner, right, and do those kinds of dances. Or at least it could never be me. But yeah, so there's all those things and activities you could engage in. And of course, we can't forget our beautiful, beautiful fellow beings on this planet. Also having pets, whether it's a cat or a dog or a sheep or goat, a cow, anything that loves to cuddle, that you can cuddle or hold, would also give you that feeling of having that need met, and yeah, increasing your sense of well-being and even your immune system. So if you have a pet, that's also just as good or similar. So basically, there are so many ways you can have your body to body and take care of yourself and keep yourself grounded and feel loved and a sense of belonging. And I'm so happy it's not just limited to you need people who love you to do this, but there's so many ways you can have that. I, for one, this month would really like to put in a massage. Like, I'm really craving that, and I've been craving that since I moved here. I don't know why I haven't made that happen yet, but definitely coming up soon. And since I'm separated, obviously, from my family who live in Denmark and my partner, like, that makes it a bit difficult, but soon we're trying to fix that and get to see each other, and that would be so nice. And obviously, in the future, it's not my goal to stay separated from the people I love, and I think that's something that would be very important for me moving forward, like living in close proximity to the people I love. And even though you have friends and such, and they also can offer touch, I feel like just being in community is also quite important. So if you're already in that, if you already have that, if you already have little kids hugging and holding you, like, even if they're not your kids, like, really engage in that. And if you have pets, really engage in that. If you can get your hair done, where you, yeah, get a wash or a massage, oil massage, I guess, into your scalp, or even your own rituals of self-care and maintenance, whether it's moisturizing, as I mentioned, doing your hair or your skincare. If you practice a more intentional approach to touching your body from an affirmative perspective, like, oh, this is a hand on my thigh, this is a hand on my shoulder, even though it's my own hand, like, I love you, I'm really a safe space for you, and I'm so happy to be in this body. Basically, all those touches matter. Anyway, friends and sis and whoever is listening, that's the episode for this weekend. And I hope you're well. I hope you can, if you can, go out and hug someone today and count for 20 seconds. Or hug yourself and count for 20 seconds. Otherwise, I wish you a lovely weekend. Do take care. And we will talk in the next episode, which of course will not be next week because I only put out 3 a month. So this is it for this month. I feel like I've put out more than 3 this month. I don't know, it's been a long month. But yeah, so the next weekend there'll be no podcast, but then the next 3 weekends there will be a podcast, as I mentioned before, but just in case some of you didn't get that memo. And otherwise, I hope that you guys take care and you stay grounded and you stay holistically aware of your well-being and making efforts, regardless of how small, to have a better relationship with yourself and your surroundings and the people in your life. that will be more than enough. Do take care, and I'll talk to you in the next episode. Bye. I hope you have enjoyed this episode on Bloom Baby Bloom. If you have any questions or comments or just little hi's, please feel free to reach out here or on our website at bloombabybloom.com. Otherwise, as always, I send you love, courage, and light to guide you on your path to your truest and most abundant self. You are so very worthy. See you next time. With love, May.